Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you about another great ESPN podcast, The Low Post. It's the number one NBA podcast for a reason. Top executives, coaches, players, and the best analysis in the game. Be sure to check it out. You can download and subscribe to The Low Post as well as The Right Time wherever you get your podcast. The Right Time with Bomani Jones podcast is presented by Goodyear. Drive always discovers possibilities. Goodyear, more driven. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. It is that time of week where we do interviews, and I just want to explain to you guys how the world changes up, right? Like, you get people who know each other, and they're kind of friendly in an industry, and, you know, things kind of go one way. A few years ago, I used to go on Nate's show. The standard for guest booking on their show is a little higher than it used to be. Jesus and Mero, check them out on Showtime. Game flipped.
Yo, like, no, stop it. We've been, like, Bomani, we've been on vacation together. We've eaten fancy sausages in Amsterdam together. Yes. Come on, man.
No, we have totally done that. I'm just saying. I know who used to come on the Vice show. I actually knew them as people. I don't know these people that come on y'all's new show. The game flipped up. Everything changed.
We got to make it clear. Bomani, you in the inner circle. You know that.
Bomani, I'm playing, bro.
Let me just make it clear right now. Bomani is a top 5 vacation guest. Okay?
We had a great time.
When you go on vacation with Bomani, you get an education. You get an entertainment. You talk about hip hop. We was in Amsterdam. We was talking about baseball over coffee in a dispensary. No one wanted to hear that, but we was breaking it down.
Yes.
We had our own personal ESPN. I respect it. Bomani, man, I miss you, bro.
And be careful. If you go on vacation with them, you lose your own Louis bag. I had the ultimate disaster while I was out. Lost my passport. I had to go fix it. But I will say this, and you can vouch for this. This was actually one of the greatest compliments anybody ever gave me. I had lost that stuff, and everybody was like, damn, I would not have handled this nearly as well as you did in the face of this disaster. That's how much fun we were having.
Let me tell you something. Bomani handled that in a way that a level of professionalism I've never seen. You ever been in a position where you freak out for the other person? Like, we over here, we freaking out. And Bomani's good money. He's like, nah, I'm good. And Bomani was good. Bomani meet us for dinner. The next day at 5 o'clock, we all got hummus.
Yes.
Everyone's like, why is all these black people in Amsterdam having hummus? And it was lit.
That actually was funny that Tommy had the bright idea. Let's go have hummus for dinner. Nothing but hummus. It was the place only served hummus. I remember being like, damn, so how am I supposed to know when I'm full?
I'm looking at Bomani. I'm like, yo, is this how you roll? Because this ain't our roll. Let's go find a chopped cheese. It was a moment.
Yo, but look, we got these guys on. They got a book coming out September 22nd. God Level Knowledge Darts, Life Lessons from the Bronx. It's available for pre-order now. And there are 2 shows left in the virtual book tour, September 19th and 20th. Tickets available at bodegahive.com. Each ticket comes with a pre-order copy of the book, and a select number of tickets are available for exclusive access to a post-show meet and greet. And, of course, Di Zamero Sundays and Thursdays on Showtime. Now, Brito, I joke about the idea, you know, that I used to be on the guest list and not, but that's really legit props. Like, I've watched this happen with you guys from the beginning and seen it go up and turn into what it is now. Now you got, like, y'all know you had all the shoes before, but now you got a whole room for the shoes, right?
Yeah, we live it up.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Miro in the room that daddy goes to mind his own business. I imagine that that's what this room was.
You know the vibes? Yeah, this, like, is my creative space.
Yeah. Like
the room daddy goes to that the kids can't go to because it smells funny.
This is not the life, though, in 2016, man.
Not at all.
It makes me legitimately happy to see how this has gone for y'all.
Just the simple fact that I don't got to smoke out of a 2-bedroom apartment window, you know what I'm saying, to keep the buzz smell out of the house signifies that the glow up. You know what I'm saying?
That's a big deal, man.
We got a book. We got ice cream. We got sneakers out the butt. We talking to the next, hopefully, if America votes properly, the next vice president. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's been changed. Before, we used to have, like, rappers that were popping back in 2000 and were taking time out of their schedule to be on their show to promote their new single that was a remake of the single from 2000, but they just renamed it 2020. So now, you know, we leveled up. We out here. We making big moves.
Yeah, like, y'all are the most unlikely famous people that I know. And I don't mean that in no bad way, right? Like, how Kanye was an unlikely rap superstar, you know? It's just like, yo, so this guy did it. Like, y'all really parlayed kicking it and hanging out into kicking it and hanging out in much larger rooms.
Bro, if we could go into detail, yesterday we announced that we go into season 3 of Showtime, DJ DeMero. Congrats and all that stuff. That wasn't the biggest moment for me. Yesterday, Poppy at the Bodega gave me 2 free blunt wraps because there were 2 extra left in the box. And he was like, yo, you got a good heart. That counts for way more than half a season 3. Okay? So that's the level we're moving on.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? But we're still the same people, but we're still not the same people, if that makes sense.
Here's the question. Does Poppy at the Bodega know what you do for a living?
Poppy from the Bodega is in. We're doing some sort of broadcast on a Sunday morning.
Okay.
Poppy's in the background. Every time I see him, he's like, Poppy, you got to send me the link. You got to send me the link. He knows what it is now.
Gotcha. Because that's the interesting thing about living in New York that can happen that people don't realize is that you can be the guy, especially with people who are not native English speakers. Like, you can be the guy on TV or whatever it is, and then at all these spots, they have no idea who you are.
Fair. And it's wild because, like, I shot some stuff in the DR and I'm like, yo, I'm gonna land there. Nobody's gonna know who the I am. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I'm just be another dude walking down the street. I walk in through this venue, through this concert or whatever, and so I just hear a Mero. I'm like, word? I was like, yo, oh, they got YouTube out here. I forgot. You know what I'm saying? I was like, yo, this wild. Like, I'm like, yo, hey. And then the one dude turns around and then it's everybody just chanting my name. I was like, yo, this is wild. I might move here, dog. I could be president.
No, man, this is the internet era and everything that comes with it is wild. Cause like we were in Amsterdam. It's me, it's Deezus, it's my man Tommy Alter, it's PFT commenter.
Sure.
And my boy George that I went to college with.
Yo, shout out to George.
Yo.
When you see George talking, I said, what's up? That's the homie right there.
Like, look, man, I'm on TV on ESPN 5 days a week. You know, this is what I do. People see me, people know me. Ain't nobody running up on me in the streets in Amsterdam. They running up on this right here in the streets of Amsterdam, because the notion of like who it is to be somebody is just totally different than it used to be. And who the people are that can reach you is just totally different than it used to be.
You're not inside like a gated community anymore. You could be famous and the people who made you famous are right there and you have to make yourself accessible to them. So you in the supermarket, they're like, what's up? You can't be like, yo, chill. I'm on TV. I can't talk to you. And you got to have that full conversation. You got to kiss the baby. You rub the cousin that just graduated. You got to hold the TT as she's coming out the supermarket. It's a different level. The fans interact with you heavy, but at the same time, you got to f*** with them because that's what allows us to even be on season 3 because these people, like, take it back to what Shorty said. She was like, the audience is not going to follow you to a new network. And we're on our 3rd year of that. So, you know what I mean? Like, we got cape for the fans. We love our fans. And let them harass me in the red light district when I'm trying to be a studio boy. It's not right.
He's like, yo, I'm just trying to watch a live sex show, fam.
It's just me, Tommy, and PFT, and we just get our money together in a bunch. We're like, yeah, we're going in one. Yo, bro, we're going to one of these booths, bro. Come on, bro. Come on, let's go. So Ken's like, hey, I know you guys. You're on ESPN. You're on Showtime. I'm like, oh, run. So
yeah. Yeah, see, you're better at indulging people in that way than I am. I will definitely tell you hello. I will make you feel like you got your money's worth, but I ain't doing none of that other stuff.
Well, but why doesn't you feel so uncomfortable? Because the person's like, yo. And I'm like, nah, he's right, though. He's like, I'm like, he don't know you. Like, you look
like you're a stranger, fam.
All of a sudden, I went from like Deezus on Showtime to Deezus, Pomani's boy. Like, yo, get out of here. Send those photographs. All right, get out of here.
No, let me tell you something. Please recognize the other person first. Because once you do, I'm out. Like, once you come up and you're like, yo, that looks like Mero. Oh, you're not here for me? Who? They were like, yo, wasn't that Bomani Jones? Maybe it was.
Well, I don't know. It might have been a publicist. I don't know.
also, shout out to everyone that after that was like, why would Bomani be hanging with Deezus and PFT and Tommy? And it was like, no, it makes perfect sense.
Tommy is like, makes like a stew every time he puts together a group.
Tommy,
he's like, yo, let me take a little bit of this, pop, a little bit of this, da da da, a little bow, a little PFT. Hey, you know what? Let's throw in a little AOC in there. Let's stir it up.
Yo, he's Tommy on the spot. Like, the range of people that I have met through Tommy Alter, and what's wild is the common thread on all of us is actually Eric Rideholm.
Yeah.
Like,
people don't realize Eric is the creator of PTI. He produced High Noon. He does Highly Questionable, but he also did Deezus and Mero when it was on Vice. Like, the production team for High Noon is the team that worked on DJ Zamiro on Vice.
Shout out to Ryan, shout out to Brad, shout out to Brad, Big Chuck, they got me on the woods.
But that's the Eric. I feel like Eric is the connection with all these disparate people where people be like, wait, really? Right?
Yeah.
It's like Peter Pan, dog. Like, we,
yeah. Dude, like the people I've met with Eric, like I was just texting the other day with a dude that used to do mergers and acquisitions at one of like the big ones. Like one of the big like investment banks and all this stuff. I'm like, why do you even want to hang out with us, right? Like, why are you even talking to us? It's just like all these things happen and you meet all these people. And I feel like what y'all are doing is an interesting collection of like all these disparate places that honestly come together because a whole lot of people smoke weed, right?
Facts.
That's the culture right there.
It's not the 80s no more, dog. Like, you know, weed is cool. Like, your auntie smoked weed. You know what I'm saying? Now we get into the generation where the generation before us smoked weed.
Yes.
So now weed is, like, normal. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I see my uncle smoking weed growing up. You know what I mean? So it's just like, oh, you know, my parents was like, yo, weed is bad. Weed is bad. You know, dare. But I'm just like, fam, I smoked this shit, I played some Contra. We good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, ain't no problems. We, I mean, I ain't out here wilding. Ain't no reefer madness. Like, we good. Like, I'm just relaxed.
But, like, cultural overlap, I always say it's just real interesting in that way because most of us are like honestly far more similar than people give it credit for being, right? It's just something, it's like whatever the thing happens to be that tears down the wall. And like I always find it's little things like for people of my age, I just turned 40. Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg is the like breakdown cultural wall. You start talking about doggy style, all of a sudden these men of all types, suddenly everybody speaks the same language. Like Ric Flair.
People who did not grow up in the hood, you'd be like, rat-a-tat-tat, never hesitate to put a on his back. You'd be like, oh, you know that? And they're like, yeah, we all know that. That's like a nursery rhyme for us. So we're
for real.
We all connect off this Dr. Dre, the chronic that Snoop, like his hip hop songs. And you're at the point now where you're just like, you meet like white boys and you're just like, there's no way this guy would know this song. And you throw up a song on Spotify. They know it word for word. They know all the verses. They know the extended remix with Amel LaRue. You're like, yo, yo, what's up, homie? Okay, we're going back. We talking real hip hop here.
Well, they know the words because they could listen to it in front of their mamas.
Right? Yeah.
We had limited listening hours at which we could memorize these things.
Listening to this like secretly in my, you know what I mean? Like under the pillow in my bootleg like disc man and like, oh, shit. But to your point, anybody across the United States could just hear the opening of Gin and Juice and like immediately, like it sets something off for you. Like, oh, you just want to be sitting on the handlebars of a bike, you know what I mean? Just cruising down like Crenshaw, like.
Yo, I look back on it. And like every now and then something happens and you're still like, damn, how is this a thing that is happening in public, you know, for whatever reason, right? Like that's how Jay Williams was on one of the ESPN shows after George Floyd and actively said something about reparations. And I was like, oh, that's what we doing.
Yeah.
It must have felt like to be like 35 years old when Doggy Style came out and this dude is the most famous rapper on the planet right now, throwing up gang signs, smoking weed on TV.
It's wild. And he's like America's sweetheart. This is the dude that did Murder Was the Case.
This is the guy that beat a murder case.
Yes.
And that's also what we never realized in the American public. Like, Obama and Michelle Obama definitely knew the words to Ain't No Fun. We've never seen them sing it out loud. But if you do the math, they know the words. They're singing it. They're not going on Rap Genius. They know it.
Chronologically.
That is a very good point. Now, here's the question on that, because I do think they know the words to that one, right? And in terms of illicit club sing-alongs, do they know the words to put it in your mouth? Did that make it to Chicago in another over?
You know what? I'm not sure if it made it to Chicago, but definitely made it to D.C. when they were in college. Because that was a dirty song. Everyone loved that. That was one of those songs where at the time it didn't even seem wild. It was just like, yo.
Yeah, it was regular.
Oh, this is wacky. Like, no. Like, if you heard your kids singing it right now, you're like, no, you're going to rehab. Like, this song is out of control.
Yeah. That's the thing about hip-hop now. It's like, if you listen to anything like 2005 and before, like, at some point through an album, you're going to hear some you're going to be like, whoa! Hey,
whoa!
I mean, if we're keeping it 100% funky, that wasn't even the wildest part of that Alcanelli album. He had a song about his girlfriend told him he was pregnant, and he was talking about throwing her down the steps.
That's bad.
You know, like, you just take it, put it in my mouth, and just... You wrong with that. And also, we're at the weird part now where we know some young rapper is going to remake Put It In Your Mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And old people are going to be outraged that they are desecrating one of our national treasures.
So. That's our song.
That's our
song. That's ours. Your auntie sang that.
Yo, that's the thing. We're getting to that age now where, like, you know, people talk about, like, having weddings and we can't play that song because my granny's going to be there. We're going to reach the point where that's no longer a standard anymore.
Nope.
Your granny's going to be there and that might be her jam.
Exactly. Your granny might have had like an album back in 96 that she was pumping in front of a car on the cover. You know what I'm saying? Oh, like, you never know. She might have signed a Master P.
I love that everybody knows exactly the album that she's
You know,
about
shout
right
to Mercedes.
Yo, I've never heard a note of her music.
No one has. No one has.
But we waited for that album for like 3.5 years. Like, yo, is it gonna drop or what?
Is it gonna?
We just flipping through the source and stopping at that page, like,
Full
page ad.
Yo, she wasn't even in any of the features. Like, that was the thing. Every other No Limit rapper was on every other album.
Speak on it.
She never showed up, but coming soon.
Was she on Make Him Say Huh? Nope. Nope. You know what I'm saying? No
hooks, no four bars, nothing. And it's wild because it's just like, is this like a promotional thing? Like, it's like the rap videos in the 90s that always said to be continued and they never got continued. That was Shorty's career. That was Shorty's career in a nutshell right there. Boom.
Listen, we were faithful. We was out there. If we had two at the time, we would have been those stupid people being like, yo, y'all got the intellect to understand Mercedes Jones.
Like, I wonder where she work right now or what her life is right now because she got kids, right? And so, like, at some point, she's going over to, like, pick up her kids at somebody else's house. And there's somebody there that's like, nice to meet you. And then when the kids come back with Mercedes' son and Mercedes leave, he tells his own son, all right, so you know who that is, right? Come in here. Let me show you.
How about Google real quick?
That's your teacher. You're like, oh.
Yes, that's your teacher is highly possible. And that is, hey man, everybody was somebody before, right?
Exactly.
Mr. Serval might be somewhere teaching class, like the exact same way. Some kid has no idea that he's talking back to Mr. Johnson, thinking that hey, Mr. Johnson ain't gonna do nothing.
Mr. Johnson used to bust his
gun. On occasion, you're like, Mr. Serval, my virtual learning's not working. You're like, oh, wait, whoa. It's not hitting the same.
Hey, man, so let's talk about this book, man. I ain't gonna lie. They sent me an e-galley and I tried to get on, but that had to register for something and I'm paranoid about giving my information out to too many people.
Bro, I appreciate you saying that. Yo, everyone in Hollywood, let me explain something to you. If you are sending a trailer for a book or for like a show or a movie and you're sending it through wild firewalls and stuff, you need to calm down. Ain't nobody trying to bootleg your
I promise you.
People are just trying to watch it for interviews and stuff. There's no reason why I gotta give you my blood type to watch a 40-minute movie that's not even gonna make the Amazon Prime. Like, let's relax ourselves, okay?
Why do you need to know my father's middle name? Why?
Right?
Why you need to know the last four of my social?
Yo, what would you have for lunch on May 30th, 1995? Actually, that's the same year Raekwon dropped, so we just checking. You're like, yo, like my guy, let me into the thing. But no, seriously, thank you for trying to even like load it because sometimes we get guests and they send over the link and I'm like, nah, nope. Yeah, not with the effort. During the interview, I'll be like, so like, you like music?
Let me tell you what's so funny about that though. Some people could be really territorial about that. Like Adam Carolla, I had him on the radio show once. And he had done this movie. I can't remember what it was called, but he was real big about it. You got to watch the movie before you do the interview. And so I did it, right? Took me about an hour and a half. Wasn't bad. David Alan Greer did his whole Teddy Pendergrass, like screaming uterus thing. It was very funny. And so I'm doing the interview with him. He was so surprised that I actually watched the movie. And I'm like, damn, you made all this hell about how I got to watch this damn thing before I have you on. And now you can't believe I'm doing it.
You know how many times that happens? It's just like you watch the movie. They're like, hey, this movie is 2 hours and 15 minutes long. And you're like, that's weird because the interview is only going to be 15 minutes. So,
I don't want the synopsis.
Like, how much am I supposed? And then also, like, we have a guest coming on tonight, and it's just like the movie has the wild spoiler. There's no way you can talk about the movie without ruining the whole movie. So now it's like, how do you talk about the movie without telling, hey, so that point where you turn into a dog, but you're still driving. Like, what was the inspiration for that? So it's like, you're balancing. It's weird, But you got, you know what I mean? It's what you do.
I feel like if we keep approaching the interviews on the same tip that we've been doing this since back in the day, like, it just works. You know what I'm saying? Like, we do, like, minimal research, you know, just so we don't embarrass ourselves on national TV. But other than that, it's just like, yo, it's just like a hangout.
Yeah.
It's so funny because we'll have people on our show and they're there to promote something. And we'll be like, oh, weren't you in 6 feet under? So what was that working like? What would you guys see actually dead bodies? They were like, fam, that was 10 years ago. I do not want to talk about that. It's like, no. That's the only thing I know that you've done.
We have Vinny Chase, homeboy from Entourage on. Like, and he wanted to talk about like the environment and like straws and I was like, nah, we want to talk about
Entourage. Let's go.
Yeah. Were y'all really smoking that much weed? Y'all smoking real weed on set? I know it was Cali. Was it raw? Like, like talk about that.
Yo, there's no telling what anybody wants to come on and talk about at a given time. Like, I had Ta-Nehisi Coates on here, and I'm cool with him, right? But little did I know that when he came on, he wanted to talk about sports. Okay. And I was like, yo, I'm trying to talk about these white folks. Like he keeps coming back. He's talking about Randall Cunningham and stuff. And I'm like, damn, I don't know what I'm supposed to do right now.
you're sitting there like, oh, okay, all right. I thought we were talking about, like, the climate. They're like, nah. Yeah. We gotta talk about the 93 Knicks. You're like,
yeah, he wanted to show another side of himself. I was not prepared. Like, it was great.
He come on, he's like, we need to give Dante Culpepper his flowers now. like, yeah, my man, what?
I actually think that might have come up. Like, it is entirely possible. Like, you never quite know when you get somebody on what they're tired of talking about, right?
Yeah.
You know, because everybody got the song they tired of playing in concert. Right. But everybody wants to hear that song. Sorry, yep. Andre. It's time for Hey Ya. I know you're tired of Hey Ya.
Bro, it's like, rest in peace to Chadwick Boseman when we had him on the show. Like, you know, we know him. That's a homie from offstage, behind the scenes and stuff.
Yeah.
But then it's just like, before we go on stage, we're like, yo, fam, like, you know, we got to ask you to do Wakanda shit. Like, I'm sorry. And he's like, yeah, I get it.
I'm not dancing for y'all, brother.
He went left with it. And the beautiful thing about him was that he could, like, flip anything and, like, make it funny at that moment. You know what I'm saying? Because we from the Bronx, bro. We 100 miles an hour off the line. You know what I'm saying?
Like, we've seen Chadwick at the Wilder Fury fight in Vegas, and we're just passing him in the lounge, and he's talking to, like, some European reporters or whatever, and you just see him like this, like, doing it, and you're like, ah. And so, like, just with him, we just pass by. We're like, hey, do the Wakanda salute. Do the Wakanda salute. And he turns around because he's upset, because he's like, yo, who is this? This is another fan or whatever. Then he sees it's me and Vero. He's like, yo, y'all.
Yo, he was like, I met him once. He came up to the Seaport for something. I can't remember what it was, but he came. And like, I am conscientious. It's not to try to be too cool, but it's trying to like respect these cats' humanity. I try to be like, I do not treat you like you famous when you show up here, because I know that has to be exhausting, right?
Right.
So I remember I saw him in the elevator and I said something, because I'll with anybody in the elevator, right? Because let's be honest, I'm the dude on TV and I'm the one that works here now. I'm the king.
Exactly.
Right? So I said something to him. I can't remember. We got like a chuckle out of it. And then we went in, because look, I don't even know if this dude got any idea who I am, right? Like, right. I'm not visible enough to assume you know me. And so he went, he did what he had to do. And then he was on the way out. I said something else to him. And then he came over and dapped me up. And it was just like, yo, man, he was just like, yo, man, I appreciate what you do. Like that kind of thing. But it wasn't at all fake. Like he did not have to like walk around that couch and come over and talk or whatever it was. And I'm not a big movie dude. So it was cool for me, but it's not like, it ain't like if Ghostface came in for me. Like that would be, you know.
Everybody got that one person.
Yeah. But I knew what it was, right? And he was just mad level in a way that I found to be very surprising.
Very level-headed, very confident. When he talked to you, you never felt like you were like, yo, I'm talking to Black Panther. I'm talking to actor Chadwick Boseman. It was like, yo, I'm talking about my homeboy Chad.
Yeah.
And then in retrospect, the interactions we had with him, like he was fighting cancer. He was going through it.
Yo.
You know what I'm saying? And he never let on. He never, like, you're like, yo, how you doing? He never was like, yo, I'm down. Like, he was just, he was always the most optimistic person in the room, the most positive person in the room, the person that you felt you had to reach a level of positivity to. Because you're like, yo, this is my guy right here. He's so happy. He's just living life, enjoying his life. What am I miserable about? I'm complaining because this person took a little extra to check me in at the hotel. Like, no, he was just like a good person. And that, sadly, like looking back, those are always the people that, you know, like get taken out of your life first. Those really positive people, the people who are good for you and good for everyone else. And that's why when you got people like that, you got to appreciate them while you got them.
Also, he was just a smooth man. Like he could just like jump in and out of anything, like serious. You know, we could be talking about some serious topic. And then, you know me, like I like to up and shake the table and just throw in some random non sequitur, and he would go with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that just shows the type of person that he was. You know what I mean? Like, he's water.
Be water. Water.
You know what I'm saying?
Water. Be water. Yeah, I have an offshoot Black Panther point that I don't know if anybody else noticed this weekend, but I think is hilarious, and I think we need to keep track of this, right? So, you know, with the NFL, they think about Black people these days, you know what I mean? Like, they got end racism on the field and everything else, and a lot of people have their awakenings that they've been doing, right? I peep game in the Patriots game where Cam Newton scored a touchdown, and you know how Cam normally does the Superman thing?
Yeah.
He did the Wakanda Forever, and I'm like, wait a minute, dog. Is this like your version of blackening it up, right? Is this your statement that you more down for the cause now that you have picked a different fictional character to emulate?
What's next, bro? Oh, that was gonna march across the end zone. And like, come on, dog. I mean, like,
he's working with what he knows. Like, come on, how many Patriot fans? How many Black people do Patriot fans know?
So,
they're like, Chadwick, was he in The Departed? I never heard of him.
So, yeah, you know, I don't know, like, bro. I don't know. Wait a minute. Hold on. Is that guy from the Bronx?
That guy.
No, wait, get him out of here.
Hey, that's the guy from House of Pain? What's going on there?
Did you know them dudes from House of Pain were from Los Angeles?
Yes. And then remember the main guy from House of Pain, after he was famous with rap, he did like an acoustic album. Like,
yeah.
Everyone in hip hop was like, terrible.
Yo, I just figured that they had to be from something Northeast, right? Because they were given like all the Northeast. And then somebody mentioned this on Twitter the other day, how I found this out. They went to high school, I don't know, at the same time, but they went to the same high school as Cube and Easy.
See?
Yo, L.A., there is no telling who was at your high school at a given point in time. Nate Dogg and Cameron Diaz walking the same halls.
Yo, true story, B.
That's a cool, like, that's a movie show right there.
Yes.
Like, listen.
Who I went to school with. Class reunion.
Yeah, like, I'm from Long Beach means a totally different thing depending on who the person is that said it.
Oh, for real. There's like the surfer part of Long Beach, and then there's like Snoop Dogg part of Long Beach. I didn't know that. I thought Snoop Dogg was the entire Long Beach.
Yo, and it's funny because, like, in retrospect, we should have done a little more math and been like, yo, man, your town got a beach, but y'all some gangsters? Like, how does that work? But it does work because they don't get to live near the beach.
We were shooting stuff for Vice, and it's like, we were saying, it was not really a beach. It was kind of just like a lake or something. And then, like, at night, like, mad Black people with leather jackets came out, and they were barbecuing. And I was like, what the f*** is going on here? And it was like, no, this is how we f*** with it. We don't live here. We come here on like Saturday and we barbecue and party, but that's our whole beach equivalent. And I was like, wow, that's some real Bronx f***. Like, wow.
Yo, there's grass here. Yo, somebody get a hibachi from the dollar store.
Yo,
let's go.
This is, you know, people going a little too strong on this now, you know, in the midst of this pandemic. But that is a fascinating thing to me about New York City is everybody's ready to show up to grill, even though they don't have no space in their own to actually grill. Like, it don't matter the park, whatever it is, y'all are set up anywhere. Like, sidewalk, setting up.
I seen a dude post a clip of cinder blocks, like the real old school, like cinder blocks, like smoke pit type with the wood in the I'm like, where did you get kindling and wood, bro? You in the middle of the South Bronx? But they made it happen. My man's in there with the spit, turning that like he the grown man said, and there's an obligatory dude uncle over their shoulder like, yeah okay.
Bro, New York is so wild now. You see people barbecuing in places you would not have allowed a year ago, and you can't even call them on it. Any given Saturday you see 4 to 5 families posted up outside the supermarket with the grill they just bought from the supermarket. You're like, yo, what are you doing? This is not a park, this is not a place for this. But now it's corona rules. You can't say nothing to nobody.
And I don't want to say anything to you because I don't want to catch it.
They're doing an electric slide. No one got masks on and stuff. They marinating a pig. And you're like, you know what? Decided today was your day. I'm across the street. Okay. I'm going to pull my mask up and get away from y'all because y'all doing a lot.
Let me tell you how to be the man on any Bronx block. Have the fireman wrench for the fire hydrant. If you got that wrench that opens up the fire hydrant, you the god on the block. They calling you at 7 a.m. Like, yeah. Yo, come open this up, B. You know what I'm saying? Just open it up, let it run for 3 days straight.
And how do you make the decision that you're going to be the person to acquire this wrench, right? Like, how do you decide that you want to take on this role of responsibility for the community?
I don't want to make it hot for my man, so I'm not going to say his name. But you know who you are. My man works for sanitation, and they get access to all that type of shit. You saw that He was like, yoink.
like there are all kinds of things in New York. I wonder, like, how you decide finally, I'm like, I'm going to be the person. Like, I've decided I'm going to play gospel music for the whole grocery store this Sunday with my speaker that I'm rolling around on a dolly. Like, at what point do you reach the confidence to decide for yourself, I'm the DJ for everybody?
Can we discuss how they had to ban that at my local supermarket, and they checked for that way more than they checked for face masks? It's weird because you just go to the stereo section and you just hear someone like playing Luther Vandross. So you're like, that's not the usual soundtrack for here. And it's just somebody like 60 years old grooving out of their minds while they're buying Honey Nuts and Oats. And it's like, why do you have to bring your own Bluetooth speaker, my guy? Like, yo, you can't just shop? Like, what's going on?
Or you can't wear headphones. Like, headphones are an option.
They're literally made for supermarkets. You always get super smacked and go to somewhere where I could browse and have my headphones on.
It's like, no, y'all gonna hear what I'm listening to. You know what I'm saying? Listen to Stephanie Mills right now on a Tuesday at 4 p.m. You're like, right. Why? Why? What did I do to you?
But there is something liberating about the moment in New York that you recognize that nobody cares what you're doing, right? Because at one time I was out, I had the headphones on. I ain't really a like sing along to the music type, but something was on and I was singing with it and I got like, oh, wow. You know, I'm like on the street. And then I realized this doesn't rate. Like, it takes way more than this to make a New Yorker stop and be like, yo, what the f- you do it. It's not going to be me singing this song.
Like, you seen, I retweeted a clip the other day, two people dead smashing in the middle of the train station in the subway, broad day. And there's only one dude. Video, like, yo, y'all wildin'. Meanwhile, everybody's just minding their own business, walking on by, trying to kiss the fall. You know what I mean? Like, just regular. And they over there smashing. My man turned around and busted out on the steps. And kept everybody keep it moving.
What was it? The day Kobe died, I went to the Knicks game with Steve Stout. And so, like, it lets out, you know, usual Knicks game. Ask me how it ended. You know already. So, like, just walking out, I'm like, all right, what am I going to do with the rest of my day? And because Uber was doing the wild surge by Madison Square Garden, I got on the train. So now you got to remember, like, Kobe just died. Like, I'm still processing. I'm a little drunk off the train. So I'm on the train, and I'm literally, like, I'm, like, crying. No sunglasses on. I'm, like, really going through it. And this girl was like, yo, aren't you Jesus? And I was like, not right now, ma. Like, yeah. No. Yeah. We're not. I am just a guy from the Bronx that lost a basketball player he loves. But Shorty was like, nah, I f- with the show. Yo, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, you're going to ask for a picture or something? And she was like, no, I see you're going through something, so I'm going to let you rock. And she just got off the train. And I was like, what other city does that happen?
Yo, but it's also wild because people normally leave you alone on the train. Like, yeah. I find that nobody, like, whoever's on the train is just trying to get to wherever they're going.
Exactly.
Like, that is the place where especially, like, unless the fight's coming my way or it's showtime, I'm really not, like, paying no attention to what you got going.
I might take an AirPod out, like,
that's the beauty of New York, like how indifferent people are. Because people will see it. You will see a bona fide celebrity, and in your mind, you're like, yo, f*** them.
Yes.
They're a celebrity. That's cool. But I don't got time for this.
New York also on the celebrity front has L.A. When I lived in California, you notice this too. It's a lot of the guy from, right?
Yeah,
like people whose names you don't know, but you see all the time and whatever it happens to be. Like, oh, it's the guy from.
Mm-hmm. Yo, to that point, we walking down the street one day. This is early. This is like MTV days. And we fresh on the scene. We had just done like two or three episodes of Guy Code. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we walking down the street on lunch, you know, chiefing a little bit, you know, and just walking, chilling. And this dude, like 6'8", Travis Kelce, Viking looking, just pulls up on us. He's like, yo, I love you guys, man. You guys are great on Guy Code. I was like, what? You saw like the 32 seconds and put us on the show? And you a fan off the show for that? I was like, okay. I was like, homie did not know our names at all. Yeah, from Guy Code.
Yep. The guy with ESPN. Oh, you on ESPN. I'm on ESPN. I'm on PTI. I'm on a whole like range of things that I don't actually do. Like I imagine guys that work for Fox get people running up on them and be like, yo, you the guy from ESPN, because that's just how people's brains work.
Yeah,
they are like, it's not even an insult. This is just how they are like configuring. ESPN means sports, right? So this is just how they configure this.
Straight up. I'm going to send a shot. I'm going to send an unnecessary shot. Yo, ESPN is Nike, and Fox Sports is like, you know, I don't know, something else.
It's not Nike. I mean, I think they'll tell you that. That ain't even no shade, right? Like, it's just playing different games, man. So the book, I'm curious about this, man. So you guys giving advice to the youths, or is it to the grown-ups, or like, who are these dark for?
It's more like, yo, we went through this, and I don't know if it worked out, but here's what we went through. Like, I was rereading the book the other night, and it was just like, wow, some of this advice is terrible. Some of this advice is not anything that needs to be repeated, but it's a slice of life of how we used to be or what we grew up knowing or how we used to react to stuff. And that's basically Deez and Mero straight from the Bronx, like our real Bronx existence before we started flying first class to LA and doing wild stuff like having Tommy dinners and hanging with Chrissy Teigen and stuff like that. This is like raw back when we had like cornrows and stuff like that. So think of it more like, here is what you could possibly do in a situation. Not saying you have to do this, but use this as an example. This is how your life will end up if you follow our rules. So
it's more like, yeah, like I did this. Maybe give it a shot. It might work. It might, you might end up doing 25 to life, but hey.
Be like, yo, like I wrote it out. I haven't updated in years, but I wrote it out like my whole path and all this because I needed people to understand, kids, don't try this at home.
Exactly.
My don't try this at home was a different caveat, which is I am a relative child of privilege, right? So like right. I couldn't, like I wasn't living off my parents, but if I need like $500, I get $500, and you know, $500 could be some make or break type stuff. But I tell you, like that's a big reason why I could pull this off. There were also some like reckless bad decisions along the way that I really don't think that you should try to make. It's just a couple of them worked out.
Yes. And see, the problem we're getting now is like people get early copies of the book. This is a blueprint. Like, I'm going to do what y'all did and end up with a podcast and a TV show. I'm like, no.
Please, I was like, no.
Please read the book. The book lets you know that's not how it ends up.
Yes. Listen, putting angel dust in a blunt is not going to help you reach success. I promise you.
But I also think the podcast with you guys is interesting because it's in part a testament to, like, A, you want a lot of people to check out what you're doing. But in terms of advancement, the key is the right people checking out what it is that you were doing. Because it seemed to me, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here, it seemed to me with the podcast, especially early, you had curated what might not have been the biggest audience base, but it was a audience base that mattered, right? Like an influential audience base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very authentic, the right people listening to it. And it gets to the point where, like, every now and then we'll do something on the podcast and every day we'll see some comments and people will be like upset about something. And you look and you can tell from the avatar, just from the way they're posting, we're like, yo, you're overstepping your boundaries. This wasn't meant for you. You just walked into the Jamaican shop and you ordered a beef patty and now you're complaining it's spicy. Like, this is not meant for you. You know what I mean? Like,
also, you're walking in at noon, stupid. You should know that you should walk in at 9 a.m. if you want to get what you want to eat.
We definitely have that barometer. And this is like, we want to make sure our fans are happy. There's transitional people who are just like, yo, I rock with the band. But then they're not really allowed to, like, change the direction of the brand. They're not able to say this, interview that person, this person. At the end of the day, the brand is still me and Mero, who we with, who we rock with, who we want to amplify. And that's what people still rock with. That authenticity is still there.
Well, tell me this. Going to Showtime, because that's a different animal, right? Like, Vice, a little bit smaller operation. They seem a little more likely to let you figure out what exactly it is that you're doing. What was it like figuring that out in this larger operation? Because once you get a budget, you also got more people that, you know, say stuff about where their money goes.
You got to remember, like, we kind of, not with a chip on our shoulder, but we had something to prove when we left our last network. Because they basically were just like, y'all not going to make it. So we had to come into Showtime and grip the shit out of it and choke out every opportunity we had on it. So it basically was like, not pushing back, like, yo, y'all want this, we want to do it like this. Showtime was very open. Showtime never came through and was like, yo, you got to do A, B, and C. Showtime was like, yo, just be y'all. Here's the budget. Spend the money how y'all want to spend it, as long as it's the product you guys are happy making. And we came up with that, and that's why we're in season 3. Showtime, shout out to them. There's never been, like, Showtime getting in the way of something. Showtime be like, you got to interview this person or you got to talk about this topic. Showtime was like, yo, we got y'all. Showtime was Mike Woodson and they were okay with being like, yo, every play is a ISO mellow play. And that's what we've been doing. So we out here.
Yeah, and it's dope to have something like that's so large, be so hands off. Like, not hands off in a bad way, but hands off in a like, yo, y'all are the brains that make this work. So do you. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're here to support, but we're not going to tell you what to talk about. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to talk about this, if you want to bring on Jennifer McLeggan and highlight that, more power to you. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's the dope thing about it. It's like, if you turn on our show and another late night show, you could confuse these other two late night shows. You're not going to confuse our show with anything else. That alone is, like, worth, you know, it's priceless.
And y'all get good seats at the fights. Like, I peeped that when you slid that in there about the fight. I peeped that.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? We're sitting for the Shaq.
We're sitting next to the president of Showtime, and they're sending a whole bunch of emails. They're like, Deez and Mero reek of marijuana. How to proceed? And then you just look at the end, and at the end, somebody was like, yeah, that's kind of why we hired them. Like, leave them alone. So, shout out to Showtime. Recognize what they had.
Yo, yo good.
It was wild too, because like that fight, that Wilder Fury fight that Diesel's talking about, we cold went up there and did commentary on the undercard. Like cold. Like we didn't plan on it or nothing. We was just walking by and they were like, yo, y'all wanna call this fight? We were like, all right. And yeah. It was like Jersey Joe versus some other dude. And he just got mollywopped. Like he was like a journeyman boxer, or whatever. Just got mollywopped.
And people were sending us pictures, like, no, remember that group text that I sent last month? Remember that? Yeah. that was what that was about. But thank you. Thanks for support.
Yes, y'all are on Showtime. Yes, where our television show is aired.
I know you are not paying for this. I know this is an illegal stream, but thank you. Thank you. All right.
Yo, dope seats at the fight are a game change. I think that's one thing ESPN can get with that top rank thing. You know, they fight at the Garden. And people have no idea how hard a jab hits. You cannot realize what a jab is until you're sitting close. Because the jab just seemed like, oh, okay, he's just kind of...
No. No, you're sitting there, you're like, yo, are we really paying money to watch two people beat the shit out of each other? And you're like, yes, you are.
When you're sitting behind the medical guy, and you're seeing that sweat, like every jab is just like, pow, pow, sweat, blood. I'm like, yo. He's not just testing his reach right there.
No. And see, I've never been to a fight where they were beating the shit out of each other. I've just been to fights where somebody was getting his ass whooped. Like, I went to the Triple G fight at the Garden, right? Number one, who knew so many people from Kazakhstan lived in New York City? Kazakhstan was out there, and shout out to the brother who had a stack of Kazakhstan flags that he was selling outside along with his, like, boxing pictures like Muhammad Ali and all this stuff. But he just got the bright idea. Kazakhstan about to be in the house, right? And so it was a Triple G promotion. Triple G, like, did the promotion. And I just remember the last two fights were Triple G and some dude, and the one before it was another dude from Kazakhstan fighting a black dude who had a bullet in his spine somewhere such that they could not do the CAT scan before the fight because they were afraid it would make the bullet move and then paralyze him. But he was okay to fight in this fight, right? And then Triple G fought some black dude, and Triple G took his ass out. I can't tell if it was an uppercut, and I can't tell if it was a body punch or uppercut, but it was like the punch that Saget took that put, like, the scar in his joint, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but it was mad uncomfortable, man, because it was clear that the theme of the night was Kazakhstan destroys African-Americans. The crowd really enjoyed
it.
It was a little much.
That was a great watch, man. We go there, and it's all these British dudes, y'all, with the flag and shit. And it was just, like, very, very, like, Revolutionary War-ish. You know what I'm saying? So I was just like, yo, what's about to happen? Is the race war going to break out tonight? Like, yo, it was wild. At, like, 11 a.m.
Yeah, no, boxing. Like, I'm never doing a African-American versus Mexican boxing match ever in my life. Never. Never. Not one.
If it's in Vegas, you'd be walking around, you're like, yo, we are outnumbered out here. They rolling deep.
By far. And it mean more to them.
They got songs, they got face paint, they wearing the boxer shorts. Fight even on Saturday, they pre-gaming for Wednesday. You can't catch up with that. They going hard.
Fam, as a Dominican, like, baseball is religion to us. Yo, that's religion in Mexico. Yes. It's boxing. They got their little 4 years old out there. Pop, 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 pop. You know what I'm saying?
Yo.
Get PT early before they, you know what I'm saying, before kindergarten.
And the style of your standard Mexican fighter is just...
I'm going to mollywop,
like,
you.
And I don't care if you hit me in the face. I don't feel like there's a Floyd Mayweather of Mexico. Like I just be dodging all these punches. They don't seem to respect that.
No, they're like, yo, go ahead. This cheekbone is already broken, but you can't break it again.
Yo, what was that Nicaraguan dude who used to do that? Mayorga?
Him in the ring smoking a bogey. I was like, my man's in here smoking a Newport 1000 before the fight.
Yo, while we got you, though, and since it just went down, I'm just curious what you guys think about this. As you are Knicks fans, it's not every day that you get somebody that you can, like, really full-throatedly laugh at in the way that you can laugh at the Clippers right now.
Training mode on Call of Duty? Well, this is like, yo, you have to do this to unlock other parts of the game.
Listen, bro, you can speak to this more than us because we fans. You know what I'm saying? This is what you do. You follow this.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, the hype that they came in with.
Yes.
It was like, the best perimeter defenders in the NBA by far. They use the numbers, like advanced statistics.
Before the series even started, they was like, you know who's winning this. Shout out to them using load management and then being mad, like, just exhausted and gassed.
No! Like, why are y'all so tired?
Like, yo, but you took a week off? Like, you know what I'm saying? You just on a treadmill, doing cardio. Now you got to play ball, and you're like... You know, the Pat Ewing holding your shorts by the third quarter, like.
Every now and then I watch basketball. I'm like, wow, they're playing on a high level. I respect this game. They're playing in the bubble. Wow, LeBron is like doing numbers I've never seen. That was one of the few games like, yeah, I could do this. Put me in there. I got this.
Y'all got cooked by an Albanian super, dog. Like, it's crazy. Like a tall, like the dude on like, you know, Pelham Parkway, like, yo, street view it if you're not familiar. You know what I'm saying? Just like the wild Eastern European. I smoke cigarettes and like drink coffee all day with swag.
Dudes viewed them as something we could get through.
No.
Do not learn personal growth on my expense.
Like, also, it's obvious that Jamal Murray reads the comments. Because after that game he had, when he was like sticking it up, he came back. He's like, oh, I'm whack?
I got you.
I was like, wow, dog, is this an arcade? The arcade machine where you just shooting the little mini balls in? Like, my man was on fire.
That's got to feel different because it's one thing of like when you lose it in the regular NBA world. Were you losing in the bubble? You're like, man. Yeah. How much time I got to check out? How much time? I got to be out at 7 a.m. I got mad sneakers. I got to get into the shuttle for the airport. Like, you trying to move out. LeBron is cooking you.
Yo, and they talked so much noise. Like, that was the thing. They talked so much. But the thing I remember from the beginning with the Clippers, I was like, yo, man, you guys are putting a lot of faith in Paul George.
Yep.
Like, is this being the guy that's the missing piece? And he's a really good player, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to get to that point where we go too far. But if y'all got to lean on him, he's not a lean on me guy.
Not at all. And every now and then, someone will be like, oh, this person a lean on me guy. You're like, no, Ron Baker is not a lean on me guy. Like, what are you talking about? What's he next season?
Word. Speaking of taking L's, I want to ask you a question, Bo, because there's a picture circulating the internet of James Harden looking happy. You know what I'm saying? After taking an L. You know what I mean? And everybody's like mad at him, like, yo, how you so happy after you know what I'm saying? You take an L again in the playoffs, dog.
Yo, let me tell you what I do know about the bubble. Them cats is ready to go. Right. Yeah. Like, everybody would like to win a championship, but I don't think that there's a defeat debilitating enough that could happen where somebody gets out the bubble where number one is not just I am happy to be out of here. Right. Like, just imagine, because all these dudes, it's not just that you're around the dudes from your own team. You're around these dudes from the other team. And that's like I was thinking about this when I moved to New York, that, and you don't realize this kind of thing, but like, you got some friends that you see 2-3 times a year. You got some friends that you see like 4 or 5 times a year, whatever. But when you move to the city they live in, they might still be a friend that you just see 3-4 times a year. Like, that just might be the basis of your relationship. It's 3-4 times a year.
We get together for birthdays and
Right. And that's what these cats are in the league, except no, these dudes are everywhere you go. You can't get away from them. And we can never forget how many of them are sleeping with the same women.
I was about to switch to that. I'm like, yo, these and I discussed this the other day. Like, yo, what is this like? It's like a 10 woman roster, dog. And they all just like rotate, like, yo,
As I've explained it, I know how it happens because they all kick it at the same spots. So if you go play in Miami on Monday night, and they're like, yo, what's the spot on Monday night? They're like, yo, Story the spot on Monday night. You go in, she is at Story. 2 weeks later, he play a game on Monday night. The cats are like, yo, what's the spot? Story. New basketball team. Same people from Miami, because they know you coming to Story on Monday night. And then next thing you know.
It's very humbling when you realize everyone at the table is all in her DMs.
Because she knows security at the arena. She knows security at the club. Like, she has the way to get to where all of you are.
Let's talk about the second part. She knows not to post anything on IG.
Affirmative.
Unless something goes bad, there's no reason why your name and her name is going to be on a post on Shade Room. That's what people are like, yo, why y'all all messing with this? Why are 7 NBA people messing with the same chick? And it's because she don't talk.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that's what it's about.
Yep. But next thing you know, now y'all all sit at the table at dinner and you got your notifications on and somebody like, look up, hey, where you
They start blinging like a waterfall.
Where you know her from?
Can't link up tonight. Bling! Next dude at the table. Can't link up tonight. Bling! Next dude at the table.
Like, the bubble. Like, I wish I was there to get like all the stories of everything that has happened, the things that we are unaware of, the cats who really, really don't like each other, and this fool Daniel House getting himself put out. How can we not get to the bottom of this?
That's a 30 for 30 right there, like inside the bubble. You know what I'm saying? Because you know, you put a bunch of 20-something-year-old millionaires in a bubble in Disney and be like, yo, you can't go in, you can't come out, you can't bring women in, you can't bring nothing out. Like, yo, forget The Last Dance, bro.
I hope ESPN learns from The Last Dance and put mad cameras everywhere And in a couple of years, we're just going to get the wild extended bubble documentary. It's going to be great.
Well, I want to see the show that should be on HGTV, which is, I'm sure, whatever renovations they did to make LeBron James' room fit up. I mean, these are decent hotels, but I still imagine that when you walked into LeBron's hotel room in the bubble, that it was like it coming to America when they opened the door and the hot tub was in there. Like, they're like, yo, like, this is not what this is supposed to look like in here. Like, there's no way that LeBron just in whatever the presidential suite at Disney World. No.
That got retrofitted, bro. They put in there. You know what I mean?
They had like a koi pond. Like, he had
He was asking for like camera and shit. He's like, yo, I want a water fountain that pumps Mountain Dew. Yo, give me the Jadakiss shit, the walls that lift up and do a 360.
Yo, who was the first person to sit in his own mattress? Because that would be the first thing I did if I was an NBA player. If I got to be here every night, yeah, I put 5 G's on a mattress. No problem.
That's like, yo, gambler money. That's a bunch
of They were throwing the players and they had like big stacks of polo underwear, brand new sneakers and stuff. It was like, yo, they was like, yo, I'm going to be in this room for a minute. I'm going to get comfortable. I'm bringing all my accoutrements. Like, we're not doing the regular We ain't doing regular Sheridan sheets, all right? I'm bringing my own joints. So I respect that.
Need that Egyptian cotton.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of cats in there on a whole lot of when's the last time I. Like, I was thinking about, you talk about flying the first class flights to L.A., right? Like, I've explained this on many shows before, is there's no way around this. There's no real, if you take 3 first class flights in a row, you can never go back to coach. It's not just because we too good for coach. It's because you are also too good for coach and you don't realize it. Like, we should not have to live like that anymore. There's no going back to that. In the bubble, that was a huge thing for the NBA, was their recognition that, look, we got to have all this wine and stuff here. Like, this is the lifestyle to which these gentlemen have grown accustomed, and we're locking them in somewhere for 3 months.
Because before it was like, yo, we NBA players. Now it's like, no. You guys are essential workers. We're going to create a special environment, and we're going to super watch you guys and hope you guys do the best. There's no way you could be humble. It's like Kanye said, you can't be humble when you're on the Jumbotron. If people put you in Disney World and they're like every channel, you realize you're like, yo, I'm bringing something to the table that everyone does not bring to the table, and I want my accolades. Yes. So like they're going to be talking different next year if we ever get back to what life was like before coronavirus, but they're gonna be like, no, I understand what I bring to the table. I think NBA players are gonna be wild cocky next year once you get back to it, because they know we need them.
And Bo, to your point, coach is not built for anybody over 6 feet tall. Like, if you're 6 feet tall and you're flying in coach, yo, listen, that's a crime against humanity. You know what I'm saying? Like, a flight from New York to LA in coach, and you 6 feet tall or over?
Yo.
Goodbye, patellas.
The underrated part of first class, and I realize the thing I hate most about coach is I just hate waiting for people to grab their bags and walk. I don't know why, right? Like, there's something to be said. That plane hits the ground, it rolls up, they hook up their jetway, and then boop, and then 2 minutes later, I'm in the airport.
Yep. Bro, oh, God, I miss planes, bro. I miss it. Ah.
Yeah, I'm like, wherever I go the next go round, it's going to be cracking. Like, we got to figure out if the world is back open in July, since we could not do our annual. Meryl, you got to make the run this time. We got to figure out where the July trip is going to be. And we got to do it.
We were supposed to go. We were going to Japan deep. Remember? Like, Tom yes. Lincoln. Tom was like, yeah. He would just hang on the phone. He'd be like, yeah, Obama's in. You're like, whoa, relax. You all right sharing a room with Ben Netanyahu? I was like, oh, okay, all right.
He's coming
with weed. Like, we gonna be out of control.
But that's really how it went with Tommy. I'll never forget. He told me, he was like, because I was trying to figure out where I was going on vacation. He said, me, Desus, and PFT are gonna be in Amsterdam on July 4th. I was like, okay, that part of the trip I know. How will I figure out the rest? Next thing I knew, I booked a flight to Nice. And then we caught the flight from Nice to Amsterdam, and then we brought it back from there. But once I heard July 4th, Amsterdam,
right?
In there.
Remember, we were in Amsterdam July 4th. There's no flags around. July 4th is a regular-ass day in Amsterdam.
It was amazing.
And then we're just sitting there, like, Americans, everyone's like, what the f*** is wrong with your country? Everyone was licking the top of Bluebell ice cream,
yes,
putting it back, and then those Bratz Nikes had dropped.
Yes.
And so all the white supremacists were buying it. Looking in, you're like, woo, child, the ghetto. I do not want to go back there. Wow. That's yo, where I'm from.
And I feel like that was the day that just kept rolling, where it was just like, yo, man, we just having a good-ass day. Like, no particular highlight to point to. Just like, yo, the weather's nice. We just having a good-ass day.
Bro, we went to the supermarket, and they call Cool Ranch Doritos Cool American Doritos. Yes. We was like, oh, wow. We was like, yes. Oh, we're cool Americans.
Yes. Yeah, there's no Dutch word for ranch.
We don't have those over here.
Ranches. Oh, American.
So much fun, bro. Oh, man.
Man, dude, this has been great. Let me make sure I get this info out so whoever does your publicity don't get mad at me. Deeds and Barrels Life Advice Book, God Level Knowledge Darts, Life Lessons from the Bronx, available for pre-order now, comes out September 22nd. They've also got two shows left on the God Level Knowledge Darts Virtual Book Tour, September 19th and 20th. Get your tickets at BodegaHive.com. Also, Deeds and Barrels airs Sundays and Thursdays, 11 p.m. Eastern on Showtime. Dude, this has been fun, man.
This has been fun, bro.
Hey, you know the vibes. You know the vibes.
This don't even feel like a podcast. It feels like a group chat. Like, can we get a little too comfortable? We want to, like, ruin our careers and
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's always fun linking up with Bomani, man. You the homie, for real.
Dude, I appreciate it. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get my weight up. I'm going to get my shows cracking. And then one day, I will be back up to the standard of your show.
You went viral. You went viral. We haven't got viral yet. You went viral, man.
This is the second time this happened, though, because Carrie and Jamel had the show. And I was just like, it's really funny. I'm going to have y'all on my show. Happy on yours, but I look up and they got like LeBron and Charles Barkley. Like, this is not insulting. It is just simply a recognition of the way the game gets played sometimes.
Nah, we respect that, man. We gonna have you back on soon, bro.
All good, man. And ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this thing a couple times a week. Gabe Bassett and Tarika Foster handle everything behind the scenes. Thank you. Thank you to our guests, Jesus and Miro. Remember, subscribe to The Right Time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to think you are a hater. We'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.